Jesus, you are the bread of life. They who come to you shall not hunger. They who believe in you shall not thirst. And no one can come to you unless the Father draws them. Raise us up and draw us into your Spirit. Amen. This week, as many of you all know, I was on vacation, and so I had two things to reflect on. Vacation, because I was on vacation, and bread, both because I had a lot of it and because it's what our scripture is about for today. Which made me wonder, are the two related? And it's a stretch, but if you hang on with me for just a minute, I will argue that they are. I think they're related because we do not understand bread the way that first century followers of Christ understood bread. For them, bread was a primary staple. It was so prevalent that bread in the Bible could often be translated as a meal or food in general. Within our diet, it is a side item, but for first century followers of Christ, it was the item. The poor would have lived on bread alone. The rich may have had a few things to put inside their bread or their pita pocket. And we know that it wasn't the same bread, for this is bread without preservatives, bread that spoils. It's unlike our bread that could sit on the shelf for weeks without producing mold. In fact, for early Christians, there was very little that wouldn't spoil in a matter of 2 to 3 days, except perhaps a dried fig. And so there were two things that were important to these early Christians about bread. One, our scripture tells us that people worked to buy it. And two, it spoiled. I wonder if we read our scripture a little bit differently and substituted something else like vacation, if we would understand it differently. For what if the scripture said, "Do not work for a vacation that ends, but instead a vacation that endures for life, which the Son of Man will give you." And we would all say to Jesus, "What must we do to earn this fabulous vacation?" And Jesus would answer, "The work of God is that you believe and experience the one whom God sent. My Father will give you a true vacation down from heaven. For the vacation of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And I think all of us would say, "Jesus, give us this vacation always." And perhaps Jesus would say to us something like, "I am vacation. Whoever comes to me will never be tired. Whoever believes in me will never be overwhelmed." It's a bit of a stretch, but I don't think it's a huge one. There are plenty of people in our society that work hard for food and housing and the next meal. And there are some in our society who also have more than enough and continue to work hard for peace of mind. Who believe that bigger paychecks can achieve a lifestyle that affords us more massages or retail therapy or a better dishwasher or more things to help us out, or a more comfortable car, or more vacations. And with all of that, perhaps we can purchase and work for more peace. If the first followers of Jesus worked for bread that perished, perhaps we're working for vacation, which perishes. Back from vacation, I'm fully aware that the peace of vacation is broken by the first problem at work, or for me a messy office that I forgot to clean, the first phone call from a parishioner, the first load of laundry that has to be done, or the reminder that there is nothing in the refrigerator to eat. And like David, for our scripture today, we end up continually chasing more and more forever and ever until we end up in a heap of trouble with the divine. So I don't think it's a stretch to think that searching and buying vacation and peace is similar to what the first Christians thought about buying bread. Perhaps two stories will help. A few years ago, I took a group of youth to a Belize mission trip. We were not at a resort. We didn't have air conditioning. There were no cell phone service towers. We stayed in two gigantic bunk houses in the middle of a jungle with fans that didn't do a very good job of circulating air. We sometimes had Wi-Fi if the construction workers did not run over the lawn. And we didn't see the ocean the whole trip. Our compound did have running water, but only 60% of the people surrounding had running water. And by running water, I mean a spigot that came up through the kitchen window and down into the sink. If you imagine on TV anything that you think looks like Belize, and then imagine the direct opposite, this is where we were. And we worked hard. In the morning, we did manual labor for home improvements, and then when the sun got too hot, we went into the town and did English tutoring with small children. It was the furthest thing from a vacation I think you could imagine. And my favorite person to watch on this trip was Mitch. Mitch was a high-power executive. He had traveled to the world's finest resorts. He had a lifestyle that bought him vacation after vacation. And one night over our dinner conversation, Mitch admitted that though he had worked the hardest manual labor he had worked in a long time and was far from any resort and amenities, he was having the best vacation of his life. He had a few reasons for this. One is that he had no cell service. And in his adult life, he could never remember a time he had left for a trip and not had to conduct business on a cell phone. A second reason was that Mitch had discovered he was really good with small children. And for him, this was a divine calling. Every day I watched as he spun preschoolers around and taught them English and danced with them. And his smile was enormous and he was at peace and he was energized. Mitch had found a calling. He had found a bread of life, an exhilarating call from Christ to teach children. And years after that mission trip and vacation, Mitch continued to live out God's calling by leading Sunday school and began to consider early retirement. Norman Wirtzba, an environmental theologian, tells his story of a grandfather, Wilhelm, who was a chicken farmer. Wilhelm had been a farmer professionally, but when he retired, he wanted another farm. He was so tied to the land and soil and chickens that he never wanted to go on vacation because his farm was the happiest place on earth. Wilhelm had found the bread of life, the purpose of living a faithful life where God and land and his soul were intertwined. And so he became a prophet to show how we should all live. When we find the bread of life, there is nothing we want for. There is nothing more that we need. There is no vacation that we need. For Jesus provides it all: meaning, purpose, sustenance, happiness. This is what Wilhelm and Mitch both found. The true bread that did not make them thirst for peace or more vacation. In our epistle today, we read about the body of God, that by our baptism, we were all baptized into one body with Christ. And through that baptism, we were each given gifts. And if we read this, we notice that like the bread, there are no works which we can perform that help us to receive these gifts. They are gifts freely given by grace. And to us, we're all given things like being an apostle or prophet or evangelist or teacher or pastors or an equipper. And each of us gets a gift. And our goal is to grow into those gifts, to discover them so that we might build up the body of Christ and promote the body's growth and love. As individuals and as a church, our goal is not to work for perishable bread, to keep laboring towards the ends of exhaustion, or to keep toiling over a bread that takes us further away from God, or keep working for a bread that wears us out without replenishing us. Bread in this form is not our goal. As individuals and as a church, our goal is to find living bread, true bread. Like Mitch, like Wilhelm, like the first followers of Christ, our goal is to start working to find a vocation of who we're called to be, of exerting our energy towards that which makes us filled and fulfilled, of laboring towards the growth of the body in Christ. It is then that we will find our true gifts and how to use them, the bread of life, peace, Jesus, and that we will build the body of Christ together, the bread of heaven. May we be like Christ in our hearts and our minds and our bodies. May we strive to be true bread and our bodies feed the hungry world.